Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Making Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Jungle Juice podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, Merry Christmas. We're a week away, right?
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. Yeah, it snuck up on us this year, I think.
It really did. And like, I'm usually... Are you a procrastinator when it comes to gifts?
Oh, hell yeah. I just ordered one gift today. I need to order another gift for my wife tomorrow. And then
Huh? Is it going to be here in time?
I expedited the shipping.
Four
business days to 2 to 3 business days. So I think I'm good.
Ooh, it might be... We can come back to that in a little bit because our mail, our mail system here has just completely hit the crapper. So it's hilarious. Like it will sometimes say it's going to take 2 days, but it sits in a warehouse in Louisville for like 2 or 3 days and takes extra day. It's a mess.
Don't ruin that for
me.
I've got some necessities coming here on Friday.
Oh.
That aren't just Christmas gifts. It may rhyme with the word sin or bin.
They sponsor the podcast. I at least heard it pop up. So you can at least
give another sponsor right there.
Hey, there you go. Yes, at least I heard the ad when we had it in on our favorite podcasting platform as well. I was listening on Spotify with it. But to appreciate you for tuning in to today's episode of the Jungle Juice podcast. We invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. That's really big. Make sure you subscribe there. Follow us along. Give us a 5-star rating and everything that goes along with that. If you want to get us something for Christmas, because why not, right? That's how you can do it. Give us a follow on your favorite podcasting platform and a 5-star rating. That's what you should ask all your family for, that's all you need, right? Is a 5-star rating on your podcast.
And if you want to even go the extra mile, fly over to LA for tomorrow, get a red eye flight, red eye is from West to East, but go to LA and don't injure anybody on the Broncos, but maybe just like make them lose some confidence or something like that. We need a win from the Chargers tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about that. We're going to dive into kind of in between when we talk about the after we talk about the Titans game, and I think before we talk about the Browns game, we're going to go into like playoff scenarios, just because it's interesting on who to cheer for, who you shouldn't cheer for, and so on. Because tomorrow night, you heard Joe Burrow say, I think his direct quote was, "It's interesting," or something was his line for he's going to be watching, was pretty much what he said about tomorrow's game between the Broncos and the Chargers. It's part of the reason why it was flexed into that game. Makes sense, because it actually has quite a bit of, well, I guess it has interesting playoff implications, because both those teams are in right now. Both those teams aren't going to win the division. Both those teams are trying to stay in
the wild card.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes along as well. We'll talk about the Titans game. We'll talk about the Browns game. I mean, a little bit about the Browns game. I don't really care
that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's
other than the fact that we might still be in it.
DTR starting, no Nick Chubb. Okay, we'll talk about that though a little bit later on. But Mick, before we get to the news, the Bengals, as we were going on, just tweeted this video with, and they tagged Netflix in it, and said
this
nothing.
The wide
else.
Receiver? Is this the wide receiver thing?
So you have not seen this video at all, right?
No.
So this is your first ever reaction to this, and I watched it. But we're going to go full screen. We're going to let Mick watch this, and I want your live reaction to this. So I'm going to add it to the stage right here, and let's see how this will work.
It's got to be the wide receiver thing.
This is Morse code, isn't it?
I don't know. This looks like some Squid Game stuff.
If they tag Netflix. And see, this is the video, Mick. Like, what do we got here? So 6 seconds left in it. And
what the hell? That's like Squid. Yeah, that's Squid Game stuff. Is there like some type of theme that they're gonna?
So is this? I've not watched Squid Game. So that's the Squid Game logo right here.
Yeah, it's well, yeah, and then they had some squid-like looking thing on the Jumbotron. It's something related to Squid Game, but I don't know what the hell.
What could it be? Squid Game related? And again, Lisa, Houday from a boozy community Christmas party. That sounds like fun. Where was our invite, right? I guess we're not in the community, so we couldn't be invited. I guess we'll have a boozy Christmas party on Sunday when the Bengals take on the Browns. But still, I don't know what this means. And I don't speak Morse code, or I don't understand Morse code because you can't speak it. I guess I can't translate it. Can I put this into ChatGPT and it'll tell me what it means, maybe? I don't know. But it is fascinating. And again, just like, I don't know what it means. And again, they just tweeted this about, you know, we're recording this less than 10 minutes ago.
I've got a theory. I think there's some symbolism here.
Okay. I'm going to just mute the video here.
So the thing with Squid Games is like, it's like a pool of all these guys that are like really hurting for cash. Like either they have gambling debts or like other types of debts. They're pretty much broke, so they respond to some type of advertisement saying, oh, if you participate in the Squid Games, you know, you win all this money or whatever. And, you know, so you these are like games you have to play, and if you mess up in any of these games, like, you're a dead man. You're a dead person. Like, you die. They kill you.
Oh, my.
So, Bengals have to they need help from other people, other teams, but also maybe it's symbolism that they have to take care of business, or else they lose any of these three games, they're dead, they're done.
So you're taking a very literal meaning for this video. Interesting. I don't know. It is whatever it is. I just, when I watched it, you didn't see the video when I was watching it, but I think my direct reaction was, what did I just watch? Because I have no idea what that means. Now I got to go to the old Twitter sphere to see if anybody has figured it out. Oh, in fact, literally, Joe Goodberry, I wish I could say friend of the show,
We're a friend of his. Like,
yes, I love Joe Goodberry. So he did like exactly him. What I was wanting to do and put it into ChatGPT or an equivalent for it. And what it says here is that the Morse code in the video translates to one more Bengals. The first segment translates to one. The second segment translates to more. The third segment translates to Bengals. This suggests a message or slogan related to the Cincinnati Bengals, possibly indicating a call for one more win or effort from the team.
Well, they need three of those. So why didn't they put three more wins, Bengals?
Is the new Squid Game season coming out? Like,
it is. There is a new season coming out.
It comes out the day after Christmas. So maybe Squid Game's dropping some money. Is it no longer going to be Paycor Stadium and it's going to be Squid Game Stadium?
That would be dope. I'd be down with that.
I guess no, I have to watch Squid Game. Okay.
Dang, I was thinking that Jamar was going to be in the wide receiver because they're doing, you know, how the Netflix did the quarterback series. They're doing a wide receiver one where they're calling like six guys, and I had no idea. I haven't really seen. They might have already released the list for it, actually.
You would think if it was going to be Jamar, though, like, would they do that and Hard Knocks at the same time?
I mean, you already got one camera yeah. through there. I mean,
I don't know. Can HBO and Netflix?
Oh, wait, no. Okay, no. We already have the cast for that. It's Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay, well, that's an interesting.
The Devontae Adams stuff has got to be.
With the trade and all of that.
Yeah. Interesting. You got Deebo slowly realizing that he's not that good.
Wow. Taking shots at Deebo. A couple of the news headlines to bring you from this week in Bengals. First one came out, I guess it was last Thursday or Friday. You know, we talked for a while on the show. Hooday Mark and Hooday Frank. Appreciate you all for joining. Hope you all have a good Christmas. That T. Higgins dropped David Mulligetta as his agent. We talked about that for 5 or 10 minutes on last week's show. But the more news comes out, I can't remember what day it was last week, that T's now signed with a new agent.
It was literally the day after the podcast.
The day after.
I think it was Thursday.
It was Jamar Chase's agent. You reading anything into that? Are we trying to connect the dots?
I've heard rumors about trying to do a package deal with Jamar and T involving this agent, which, you know, might expedite things, might make things a little bit quicker. I don't know how that necessarily would pan out or anything like that. But, you know, that's what the word on the street potentially is.
I didn't realize you had ears to the street. My goodness.
I don't even remember who my source is. The dude could be completely nuts.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize you had sources. Look at you. You got more sources than I do. That's impressive. I give you props. I had a source on the old Bengals, but he doesn't really, I think, have any information on new Bengals. But although I don't know that my old source would have told me anything other than shut up, kid, go home. The other headline was Bengals Broncos officially as a start time. 4:30.
Oh, look who called that one.
And I think it makes sense. You know, I felt like it was the 1 o'clock Saturday to me was the least likely of the options. And then, well, maybe 1 o'clock Sunday might have been even less likely. But, you know, there were some rumors. Could that be a prime time? But instead, 4:30 Saturday, which I think is a good time slot. You know, I think you get if you're a fan, you can still get a prime time feel for that game, I feel like, because it's going to be under the lights for the majority of it. So you'll still get some darkness. And also, you won't be home at the, you know, in the middle of the night, which would be kind of nice.
It's also Saturday.
Yes. Which I know you love. You love. I don't. As somebody who has actual work to do, it makes my job a little bit more difficult. But hey, we'll make it happen. Then we have three new players to the practice squad. I know you've been very excited about these three.
I don't even know who we added.
Okay, so we're going to put you on the spot, and you're going to have to tell me where these guys went to college, because I know you love to do this.
I do like doing this.
Defensive end Isaiah Thomas. Defensive end Isaiah
Detroit
Thomas.
Detroit Pistons.
Well, he came from the Lions. You're right on that. I'll even be nice and tell you he was a seventh-round pick from the Browns in 2022.
It might be nicer to give me a conference.
Big 12?
Like now Big 12?
No.
Oh, Texas?
Wrong. Oklahoma. Oklahoma is where he went. He appeared two games for the Lions this year. He's a defensive end. Actually graded decently well. Didn't play a ton of snaps, though. Linebacker Joe Giles-Harris.
Oh, my God.
He was an undrafted free agent in 2019. Played 17 snaps for the Patriots this year. Shout out to Vinny Ray.
Delaware.
Duke. Vinny Ray was Duke.
Shit.
And Jalen Key, a seventh-round safety that was drafted by the Jets this year from
Arkansas, LSU.
Alabama.
Boise State.
Alabama. You're just guessing the wrong SEC school. So there are your three new practice squad guys for the Cincinnati Bengals. Isaiah Thomas, Joe Giles-Harris, and Jalen Key. Welcome to the frame, team. Boy. Welcome to the frame. I did find it interesting. Logan Woodside was signed to the active roster.
Well, yeah, they like to make that move.
And so is Cade York, which, again, makes sense because you get three call-ups, which meant that this game was going to be the last one for Cade York, and he has been good. He's been what you expected. You know, he missed the extra point late in the game against Tennessee, but he's been pretty good.
Is Evan McPherson on the IR?
He is.
Okay.
He would be eligible to come back the Steelers game. So the final game of the season would be the one game he would be eligible to come back. And then, of course, the playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. Listen, we'll talk more about playoffs here in a few minutes. If it's Bengals-Bills, what the hell is Vegas going to set that over-under at?
A lot of
points. 90? Like, it might just be like just an insane over-under for that game. And what an entertaining... That's got to be Sunday Night Football. Like, if that is it, like, that's got to be one of the primest spots because that's going to be a ton of points scored.
Oh, yeah.
But still, got to get there first. Bengals helped themselves on Sunday with a...
sloppy.
I tweeted, and I know everyone follows me on Twitter, so I shouldn't need to say this because, you know, who doesn't follow me? That in the history of NFL games, Bengals-Titans was certainly one of them. Felt like that was the only way to describe it. It was definitely a football game.
Yeah.
It was one.
It was technically a historical game with the combination of penalties and turnovers. And
It was one of those that if the Bengals were losing, I would have been a lot grumpier.
Yeah, because they would have lost. They would have lost that game. Like, the Titans wouldn't have won that. Now, thankfully, you know, they had Will Levis on their sideline, and Will Levis did Will Levis things.
It hurts as a UK guy. It hurt a little bit, but that was the one game a year where I know I wasn't going to cheer for Will Levis, and I was okay with that. There's a couple things that for me as takeaways from that game, and the first one I wanted to go to was. I would love to know what DraftKings anytime touchdown line was on Sam Hubbard to have an anytime offensive touchdown, but then he hurts his knee. So, Mick, my question to you is that the last time we ever see Sam Hubbard in a Cincinnati Bengals uniform?
I think there's a good chance it is, especially after the game we saw from Miles Murphy against the Titans, where I think it was really Miles Murphy's coming out party where he was actually wrecking a game where we thought he would. I mean, hell, 35% pass rush win rate on 22 pass rush snaps. Yeah, that'll get the job done. I think he had a sack in there as well. Definitely a few pressures. I think this might be the last game we see from Sam Hubbard, unless if he renegotiates his contract or they cut him and then they sign him on the cheap, which there's a good chance they end up doing that as well.
And that's exactly what I was thinking about is because here's the thing about Sam Hubbard is he has been injured. He has been injured. Now, how much of that is he's, and I just love that we say he's old when he's like a year older than us, Mick. So we're now finally getting to that age of, oh, we're getting old. But how much of that is father time and how much of that is that he's been hurt these past couple of seasons? You know, he had the grade 3 hamstring, whatever it was, that apparently needed surgery, and he's been playing on it for most of the year. They can't bring him back at the price tag that he has next year. Like, I just don't think that you can do that. But if he would sign a 1-for-3, 1-for-2.5, something like that, a hometown deal or something, prove it, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that as well. And I think that might be the most likely thing that happens with him.
And with that too is him not being the starter.
Yeah,
he is your guy, because like Frank said, you know, Joseph Ossai has shown some little bit of flashes. Miles Murphy, like you mentioned, had a big game. And then another guy we got to mention too is who had his best game on that defensive line, McKinley Jackson.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he made some plays. That was the first time where you saw, okay, he's a third round pick. Whereas all season it's been like, maybe he really was a sixth round grade.
I've seen more flashes out of McKinley Jackson this year than I've seen out of Miles Murphy.
Yes. Well, I love the one
across the board.
Who were they playing in the one game where he got into the backfield so fast that he didn't know what to do and ended up missing the play?
It was one of the primetime games. It was either the Giants game. Yeah.
Giants, where I just love that he just got into the backfield and was like, oh my, wait, that's the quarterback? I should be this easy. And didn't end up making the play because of it. But I think he's shown some good things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess while we're on the subject of good, the defensive backfield, really good across the board. I think everybody had an interception in the game. What do we have? Four of them, I believe. Four interceptions.
I guess we have to put
two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't say everyone was great in the defensive backfield because Jordan Battle does deserve a disciplinary action.
Yeah,
I still can't believe that happened. That and see, that would have been the epitome of the Bengals lose that game because because he drops the ball.
Yeah.
Jordan Battle. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
That was crazy to see. And then that wasn't the only time that happened that week, because Jonathan Taylor's looked worse too. He was doing it celebrating in, and Jordan Battle was switching hands, preparing to celebrate in the end zone. So I don't know. That was just crazy. But back to the defensive backfield, I think you had some guys that some of these guys had really good games. I mean, Geno Stone, second great game in a row here, 91 coverage grade, only allowed one catch for 4 yards, had an interception for a touchdown. He looked really good in this game. Mike Hilton came back to form a little bit, 77 coverage grade, allowed three catches for 14 yards. Had a PBU and a great interception. That was probably – that interception had to have been my favorite defense play of the game, just because of the one, it was a good pass breakup from Josh Newton. And then, two, just the diving interception from Mike Hilton was great. Josh Newton, while we're on the subject of him, he was targeted quite a bit in this game. Targeted 8 times, gave up 4 catches for 78 yards. So, I'll take those stats if you're being targeted as much as Josh Newton was. Had an interception, had a nice run stop in the game as well. Also, pretty much forced the Mike Hilton interception as well. Cam Taylor-Britt, another solid game in a row. It seems like he's kind of coming back to what we expected him to be in the season. 70 coverage grade, gave up 2 receptions on 2 targets. For 11 yards. So those defensive backs, huge kudos to them. And, you know, we're keeping the trend, because we had Will Levis 1 week, got DTR another week. So can't complain
about that.
Cooper
Rush the week before. Cooper Rush is probably the best of those three, but that's this stretch where, I'm saying that's a low bar without question with that. I want to talk about, too, is something that I kind of liked. But the reaction to me has been very weird. And I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, Mick, but it was the Fox towards the end of the game caught Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor having a moment on the sideline. And Joe Burrow pretty much said, you know, we're effing 6-8. You know, it's not okay, was pretty much his reaction. And they said today, and I think people get a preconception with scenarios like this, where they already don't like Zach Taylor. So they just assume everything potentially negative that would happen on a sideline is Zach Taylor's fault. Same thing with Trey Hendrickson. Was it the Dallas game or the game before where he came off the field and was yelling at Zach Taylor and everyone was saying, oh, well, that's, you know, Trey Henderson yelling at Zach Taylor.
Home games. I think it was one of the home games.
No, I think it was a road game because I remember watching on TV. I don't remember when it had happened.
It was a Chargers game
where he came off and Trey Henderson was literally just venting more to Zach Taylor because it's better to vent to Zach Taylor than it is to vent to an official because then that's a
Trey's anger was entirely at the referee crew with that.
And what Zach Taylor I think was trying to do and I think it ticked Burrow off at the time, and I don't think it's we read anything into it whatsoever, was pretty much saying like, dude, we won. Like in the end, this time of year, that's all that matters. Like, was it pretty? No, but we won. And that's all we needed to do right now. And Burrow is mad because he holds himself and holds the team to a higher standard. And I think some fans were like, well, Zach Taylor's lowering the standards of the team. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think he's just trying to, his style of coaching is let's try and take his positivity as much as we can. And in the end, Mick, all that matters is you score more points than the other team. It doesn't matter how you do it. In the long run, all that matters is you have more points than the other team at the end. And they did on Sunday against the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play too much into the altercation. You know,
if you even want to call it that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have two guys that have been together for 5 years, pretty much attached to the hip, offensive coordinator, head coach, and your star quarterback. You know, there's going to be some times where you guys don't agree on something or where you guys do get mad at each other. And I think that more or less builds on the relationship. If you have a relationship that's all positivity and sunshines and rainbows, I mean, that's just what happens when shit hits the fan, right? So I think that, you know, I think it's a healthy thing for them to have this type of discourse with each other. And, you know, and I'm not going to blame – you can't really blame anybody for either of them for their viewpoints. I would probably side with Burrow here is that, you know, I'm – playing the best ball of my career. I'm doing my job. But as a team, we have not been able to do this. Like, we haven't been able to pull this together. I mean, we shouldn't be having false starts and delays of games and all these unnecessary penalties that are just mental mistakes in week 15 of the season. You know, when you're trying to make a playoff push, and I think you and I can both agree, yeah, these guys are still alive. But that game against the Titans did not look like a team that could go to the playoffs, even if they did win the game by three scores.
No, and it didn't. But I found the reaction from fans just interesting. Interesting with how they said. Some other things that I liked for the game that I think we got to give a shout out to. Amarius Mims continues to come into form.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of single pressure as right tackle.
No, he had a really good Bengals game.
He is playing like a first-round right tackle.
Yeah.
I
loved the now it was a bad play because it was a fumble that Tavondre Sweat recovered, but you just saw two giant Amarius Mims ends up making the tackle on Tavondre Sweat, and just seeing big guy, giant man tackle other giant man was just really fun to watch. Also, Alex Kappa absolutely blown up on that.
Poor Alex Kappa.
He also got blown up pretty much the entire game while he was blocking people.
Well, let's go back to Alex Kappa here, because I want to when we talk about some negatives, because I think he has to continuously be thrown on that list. He almost just has his spot on negatives every single week for most of the season.
It's been a rough season for him. That hasn't been his MO while he's been here. It hasn't been his MO. He's pretty much his entire career.
He's been solid.
Yeah.
Not elite. Not bad. He's just been a solid right guard in the NFL. And things I liked that I'm going to throw this in there, you know, I'm going to put Devin Cochran in that category. And here's why. You know, it started off bad. It wasn't good.
No.
But considering that he found out at 9:30 a.m. that morning or 9 a.m. that morning that he was going to be starting at left tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals when he had zero career NFL snaps coming off the practice squad.
He could have been a lot worse.
Yes. And you know what? I thought he was fine. He was fine. And honestly, like to me, he was Cody Ford. After he settled in, he was pretty much what you would expect from Cody Ford.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was fine. I'm not going to sing his praises too much. I mean, he's still graded pretty badly but it wasn't as bad as, you know, it was like a 47 pass block grade, and we've seen a lot worse from starting tackles of this team. You know, think about Cedric Obwehi or
it's Christmas. You know, let's not
get Hakeem Adeniji. You know, it's
Isaiah Prince.
I think he was fine. He was serviceable. I guess Burrow. We haven't really talked about Burrow, but even though, you know, he did have a couple interceptions, had the fumble, I still think he played fairly well. 26-37 completions, 271 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 big time throws, 85% adjusted completion rate. So, I mean, I think he was on it for most of the game, but I mean, the first interception was, I don't know what the hell happened there.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was a weird one. The second one, I think, just a tad bit underthrown. I think he was probably hit as that ball was coming out, or at least nudged, which kind of just messed with the trajectory of it. But I think Burrow was pretty good. We saw some crazy magic plays. I mean, two magic plays from Joe Burrow, one resulting in the touchdown to Chase Brown, and the other one for the PI. I think Chase Brown was also the target on that, if I remember correctly.
The touchdown. That's as good of a play as you're going to see an NFL quarterback make.
Yeah, what a great play.
Just, I mean, what was it, 9.2 seconds holding the ball? Yeah, moving around and finally finding Chase Brown to bust open. And I loved on that play watching, you know, Fox, when they showed the replay, cut to the end zone camera. And I loved watching the play from that angle and seeing Chase Brown cut towards the backside. And then you can tell immediately when Chase Brown realizes, oh, there's nobody over here. And he immediately cuts and goes. And you see Burrow immediately see that and float it out there. I just thought it was a really cool angle and see the development of the scramble drill, which I hadn't realized, you know, in the game. And of course, I knew right when Fox put up the stat that the Bengals had had, was it 42 straight drives scoring in the red zone, or 48 or whatever it was. I knew immediately when they put that up, I was like, well, here it goes. That's ending.
Yeah.
And it did the next drive. But I didn't realize it had been that many. But that's something that this Bengals offense has been really good at this year, when that had been a little bit of a weakness the previous couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't say that any better.
Was red zone offense. Yeah, but I thought he was Burrow.
Yeah. Burrow was good. Chase Brown almost eclipsed 100 yards rushing for the second time this season. Ended up with 97 yards, averaging right around 4 yards per attempt.
There was a little bit part of me, and I really wasn't, but he scored, because he scored the final touchdown of the game, if my memory's right. Right?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Yes. I was playing him in fantasy, and I was like, no, anybody else, not him. Luckily,
Josh Allen ended up winning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big
time.
Who
are you playing this week? Lanning.
I got Josh Lanning coming up. Nice. Lanning's going down, too. I'm sure he watches this podcast. He's going down. Big fantasy game. Anything else you liked, or you want to jump into some things we did like?
T. Higgins, another thing, another player I liked. Caught 5 or 6 passes, 88 yards and a touchdown. Burrow was consistently targeting him downfield, 14.2 yards, ADOT. Average depth of target. Had a really nice contested catch, which converted for a first down. I think it was on third down on one of the early drives of the game. So T, I think, had a really good game. And then also B.J. Hill, 18% pass rush win rate, 3 pressures, 1 sack, had 2 run stops as well. He had a really good game.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
You mentioned it, and the Bengals have set a Bengals franchise record with 3 straight games with 10-plus penalties.
Can't believe it.
And that's
Zach,
one thing.
You Zach can, Taylor coach team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you can say what you want about Zach Taylor. You can complain about the play calling. You can complain about this. You can complain about that. Penalties never been something you've been able to complain about because his teams have really never been heavily penalized at all. They always rank towards the bottom of the league. They're always very much disciplined. It's weird these last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, it was, I mean, poor Cam Grandy. Poor Cam Grandy. Not his best day.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Most of those miscues, at least for false starts, came from the two players that have really not played any snaps on the offense, which are Devin Cochran and Cam Grandy. So I think most of it's just them not being used to being on the field, I guess. and I think that caused a lot of miscues. For some reason, Zach Taylor's some reason Zach Taylor's headset doesn't work at Nissan Stadium sometimes.
It's weird.
Yeah. It would just bring you callbacks to the playoff game where Burrow had to call that last drive. But that was the play. I think that was the delay of game that happened, and then Chase Brown scored, and then you saw Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor kind of having at it on the sideline a little bit. So, I think it's crazy that headsets don't work at Titan Stadium as well.
Something
probably because that one guy did that thing to that 5G tower on Christmas.
Oh, my. Wow. Getting dark now.
Oh, yeah. Happy anniversary.
Jermaine Pratt.
Bad. Oh, shit. Bad. God. Terrible.
Is this a problem?
I think it potentially is, just with how he's reacted after games in the locker room in recent weeks after playing.
That's been nothing new with him either.
I mean, it hasn't, but he's been able to usually back it up or not play as bad, and as he, especially not as bad as he did on Sunday. I mean, Sunday was terrible.
He doesn't miss tackles, Nick. He doesn't miss tackles. What are you saying?
Missed two bad ones.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He doesn't miss tackles. To be fair, what are you talking about?
The two really bad missed tackles came on the last drive where, I mean, I think everybody just wanted to go home. You know, we were up 16 points or whatever, but, like, that was piss poor effort on a couple of those plays by Jermaine Pratt. You know, those ended up turning into a touchdown at the end of the game. I mean, I know it doesn't matter that much, but shit, that was god awful. Gave up 8 receptions on 9 targets, 99 yards and a touchdown, 29 coverage grade. Awful.
I'm looking at it right now. Cap hit of 7.9, dead money of 2.3. So, you know, if you kind of counteract that, so what is that about? You'll be saving about 5 mil, give or take.
Yeah, I still think Jermaine Pratt's good enough of a linebacker where that's a valuable contract. And I think when him and Logan Wilson are on the field, I mean, I think that they've been a good linebacker duo when both of them have been on the field throughout this season. So, no, I don't think he's going to get cut. I don't think he should get cut. But that was
Joe Goodberry. I think it was Joe Goodberry made a really interesting point, though, on Twitter earlier this week. And it was, you know, he said, okay, Bengals are more than likely going to have a new defensive coordinator next year. More than likely. You would imagine that that'll be the case. Are they going to stay with being a 4-2-5 guy like Lou has been pretty much for the entirety of his tenure? Are you going to get somebody to bring in?
I've been asking to switch to a 3-4 defense for a very long time.
But do we go 3-3-5? You know, do we get a little weird or something?
What the hell does Mike McDonald run? I want whatever he runs.
Who is, and I ask this, okay, let's just, we're off topic, but I'm going to ask this to you. Who is the guy, you can't say Mike McDonald, like, as your dream defensive coordinator candidate, because obviously he's not coming to be the defensive coordinator, but who is a legitimate dream defensive coordinator that if they announced on January the 20th, insert name here is the new defensive coordinator of the Bengals, that would make you go, oh, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it would have to be a guy with some head coaching experience, a guy that's kind of proven himself year after year.
Maybe from the New York Jets?
Yeah, so, I mean, Robert Saleh would be on the short list for me. Matt Eberflus, I think, would be on the short list for me as well. You know, my mind's kind of coming to blank. You kind of put me on the spot here.
I did. I 100% did. But I also was not planning on asking
even,
that question.
Even like a Leslie Frazier coming back would be fine with me.
Zim?
Well, you know, I just listed 2-4-3 guys. Actually, 3-4-3 guys, and I think the 1-3-4 guy is Eberflus. I think it is, at least. I wanted to switch to a 3-4, I'd probably do Eberflus. But also, I want to see Rex Ryan come back to coaching.
You've said that a lot over the last couple of years. I feel like
he might be
the only
defensive coordinator. He's been a really good defensive coordinator.
He's loving his ESPN gig, though.
He is. He's like the one guy on ESPN that isn't like a complete idiot, I think.
See, I can't take any shots at the other guy that's on that show because that I would take a shot at right now.
Who is that?
I mean, the guy who went to some school in West Virginia that I can't even remember how to pronounce it.
Randy.
I'm not going to take any shots at him.
Hope he gets better.
Yes, absolutely. You mentioned Ted Karras. Ted Karras is fine. Alex Kappa.
Who?
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Was really bad. Devondre, who was on him? Was it Jeffrey Simmons? Or I guess
I would assume. Him? Yeah. Simmons
and Sweat.
And I mean, you're just looking at this. I mean, his cap hit next year is 10.25. Dead cap of 2.25. I mean, there's almost a 0% chance he's back next year, right?
I think he's back.
You do?
Yeah, because I think there's other people that are going to be. You can't just cut everybody that's got favorable, you know, dead cap, you know, cap saving situation. Alex Cap has had a terrible year this year. Don't get me wrong. Well, we've seen him play solid ball. I mean, we have no idea if the injury he sustained at the end of last year has been the cause of his problems for this year. We don't know if you know, we don't know what's going on with him, pretty much. And we saw him play solid football, I think, at the beginning of the season as well.
I think to me, the question is, can you afford to take that risk?
I mean, yeah, you can't cut everybody.
Lisa's on cut Kappa. She says he's cooked. I don't know. That's maybe one of the more interesting ones, because I think Sheldon Rankins is the easiest cut person since Trey Waynes.
I mean, I was on the cut Geno Stone train, but now the past couple of games got me thinking, like, do we run it back with Geno Stone for another year? Von Bell's gone.
He's a one-year guy. So it doesn't
matter. Hubbard's definitely at least restructuring.
Or something along the lines of that.
Honestly, that
Joe Burrow guy. We're just going to take $105 million of dead cap money with him.
You know, with Sam Hubbard restructuring, that may open up some capital for maybe a 1 year Trey Hendrickson extension, or at least to get his salary to where it needs to be for a top edge rusher in the league. I think that's going to be the initial thought of action for the front office.
Riley brings up Matt Lee. Let's come back to Matt Lee here in a minute, because when we talk about injury report, Matt Lee ties into that. So let's come back to Matt Lee here in just a minute, and we can talk about him. Is there anything else, or should we just jump into some playoff scenarios and then talk about the Browns game? Anything else negative? I think we've...
Let's jump into the playoff scenarios.
Playoff. Just a smidge of a big game tomorrow night. Just a smidge.
Huge game. Just a smidge. Pretty much, if the season could really come down to Thursday. Could come down to tomorrow night's game.
And if you're a Bengals fan, you are cheering for
the Chargers.
And why is that, Nick?
Okay. So pretty much the only path for the Bengals to make the playoffs is for either the Chargers or the Broncos to lose all three of their remaining games. So the Chargers have the Broncos tomorrow, the Patriots, and then the Raiders to end the season. Patriots and Raiders aren't very good teams. Broncos have the Chargers, us, the Bengals, and then the Chiefs, which is considerably, it's a pretty difficult three-game stretch for them.
The question with the Chiefs is that the Chiefs or is that the practice squad Chiefs?
Well, that brings up to my other point here, and you already know where I'm going, and you're thinking in shame, but we got to be Steelers fans next week.
I would rather cheer for North Korea.
We have to be Steelers fans next week.
I refuse.
If the Chiefs win out, number one seed. Well, wait a minute. How many games out are the Bills? They only one game out?
One game out. They have two losses.
One game out.
I'm cheering for the Bills. Get that one seed up a little.
If the Chiefs win out, because who did the Chiefs play this week?
But Mahomes, well, I guess he practiced today. And I always love that. You know, Mahomes, every year, about this time,
it's my ankle sprain.
Oh, I might miss 3 or 4 weeks. And then, you know, he's practicing 2 days later.
Next week, like, then wins the Super Bowl.
It's just like, what are we doing for Patrick Mahomes? The Chiefs, they play the Texans on Saturday.
Okay. Well, then we got to be... You need the Chiefs.
Well, I guess Buffalo is +2. So Buffalo is -2 rather on the Chiefs. So the Chiefs have a 2-game lead.
Chiefs have a 2-game lead?
Yeah. So the Chiefs are 13-1. The Bills are 11-3.
Okay. So you have to be Steelers fans, because if the Chiefs win out these next two games, they're going to be resting all their starters and no playoffs for the Bengals. So, you know, you guys are fucking nuts. You guys are fucking crazy.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna put my pride and ego aside and cheer for the Steelers if we're still in it next week.
Nope. I won't even watch the game. I won't watch it. I won't check score updates. And at the end, if the result happens, I'll be like, that is a result that has happened. And that is a result. Like, I can't do it. Let's just hope the Chargers win tomorrow and just help us out. How's that sound?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if that does happen, you still have to root for the Chiefs to lose to the Steelers.
On Christmas, too. That's the thing. I'm like, it's a Christmas. I want both those teams to lose. Does a tie help? No, not really.
I don't think a tie does help. No.
No, it really does not. But yeah, you just want to, the biggest thing is Chargers. You want to cheer for the Chargers tomorrow night.
And then also you need to cheer for whoever the hell the Colts are playing for the next 3 weeks. So, I mean, there's Jaguars, Titans, and then there's another bad game, Giants.
I was going to say, I know that
sprinkled in the other game.
The Colts schedule is very, very easy as it goes out. Yes, because they host the Titans this week, Giants and Jags.
So you got to root on one of those three teams to also beat the Colts, which I still think I'm not too worried about one of those things happening.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Titans can end up pulling it off on Sunday this week.
Listen, I think it'll be it. Well, I guess you get the backup for the new starting or whatever you want to call Mason Rudolph down there in Tennessee. I'm going to call it here. They'll win the next two, but old Dougie P on his way out is going to come away with a win. He's going to spoil everything in his last game as the Jaguars head coach.
Mac Jones is going to have the He's going to have the New York Jets, Geno Smith, last game of Rex Ryan's tenure, perfect passer rating ball game to end the season. I don't know if you remembered that happening. But
yes. And he somebody's going to give him a contract, right? And Mac Jones' redemption arc is going to come all the way through. And
well, no, like the Geno Smith redemption arc didn't happen for another like 5 or 6 years.
It's coming for old Mac Jones, just like it was going to come for Josh Rosen, who I actually thought was going to be good. And now I think he's working at the local Walmart. I think that's probably accurate for old Josh Rosen. Injury report. For Bengals against the Browns, the Bengals, Orlando Brown Jr., Sam Hubbard, Chris Jenkins, and Sheldon Rankins all did not practice. Orlando Brown and Sheldon Rankins both at least were on the rehab field. Burrow, Kappa, Charlie Jones, and Geno Stone were all limited. Now, Alex Kappa is in concussion protocol, which could mean anything. It literally could mean anything. When it comes to a concussion, you know, even though these limited today, you don't know how much that was actually, if that's a good sign, if it's not, because you really have no idea with concussions. Now, if he's not going to go, Matt Lee would be in line to start at right guard.
Right guard? Really?
Yes. That would be at least over? That's what Zach Taylor said today. So that's, you know, Riley says Matt Lee is potentially the center of the future. Would Karras move over if Lee takes that leap? Apparently, right now, it would be Lee at guard and Karras at center. At least that's what Zach Taylor said. He could be, I don't really know why he'd do coach speak when it comes to interior offensive linemen, who's going to start where. I don't know. But we both were very much on the Matt Lee train when he came out of college.
We were.
I think he's solid. You know, I think the best way to describe him was what I read from one scout that said when they put on the tape, they didn't notice him. And as an offensive lineman, especially an interior offensive lineman, I think that's a really good compliment. Yeah. Like he's there. He didn't make any bad plays. It's not like he's blowing anybody up, but when you're on the inside, that's all you really need. So
he's
graded
extremely well over his collegiate career at Miami.
And then UCF prior to that.
Yeah. Yep. I blame PDJ for this. He talked last year about, like, you know, how healthy the offensive line room was, and we didn't see any turnover with the offensive line. And look at what's happened this year.
I mean, the Bengals are on their fourth string left tackle, if we're being honest.
Is it their fourth or their fifth?
So if you go Orlando Brown
Jr.,
Trent Brown,
well,
Cody Ford. But if Trent Brown was healthy, he would have flipped. He would have played left tackle once Orlando Brown got hurt. So I'm putting him in there.
Trent Brown, Cody Ford, Jackson Devin Kirkland.
Oh yeah, did forget about him. So I guess it is their fifth string.
and now Devin Cochran.
And then I guess behind him is Stuber or whatever his name is.
I'm surprised Cochran got the start over Stuber, honestly, because I think Stuber's had some experience starting.
Three snaps,
for the Patriots. Three snaps?
Three career snaps. Oh. I think that's what it was.
Okay, well, he has more experience than Devin Cochran does.
Technically, that is an accurate point, that he does have three more snaps. For the Browns, Martin Emerson, Shelby Harris, and David Njoku all did not practice. Curtis Samuel, though, was limited, so he could potentially be back for the Browns.
Curtis Samuel's on the Browns?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that. I don't remember that happening. He signed there recently?
In the offseason, I think.
No, he was with the Commanders. Bills.
Did I completely make that? Let me just make sure here that that's what I wrote down, but it wouldn't be against me to just completely make something up on this podcast, Mick.
Like Curtis Samuel was a midseason cut.
Let's see here. Cedric Tillman. Cedric Tillman okay. is coming back. Sorry. Wrong guy. See, it's been a long week. Cedric Tillman is coming back from a concussion. Browns offense. DTR is going to start a quarterback. They don't have Nick Chubb.
To be fair, Nick Chubb hasn't played that.
No, he's not.
And
he's
honestly, not. Jerome Ford's probably the bigger threat out of those two backs.
I think we're done talking about the Browns offense, right?
Jerry Judy's playing pretty well this year. Had some stats on him. I think he broke 1,000 yards this year. So that's
really
good for him. Yeah, he's broke 1,000 yards. He's been on fire in recent weeks. Four touchdowns, 15 yards per reception, 105 passer rating when targeted, 78 receiving grade from PFF. Now, to be fair, all of this production was with Jameis Winston on the field, and Jameis Winston, for some reason that I still don't understand, other than the Browns are just blatantly tanking, that he's been benched for a guy that can't even throw the ball 5 yards down the field.
It is just like this Browns offense, and I know you are dancing on their grave a little bit. I don't even think a little bit.
Oh, did you see the news? The Deshaun Watson will be back next year as the starting quarterback.
Love to see it, don't you? You just love to see it. You just love to see it.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, Browns defense, when we talk about them, Myles Garrett, he's still there.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's really good.
Got a good linebacker duo over there as well. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and I lost track of the other guy's name. They have another guy. He's pretty good.
Do. Yeah.
Who's the other guy? Man, it's great podcast here, Sam.
We're doing a great job. They got Denzel Ward too, who seemingly is always makes a big play against the Bengals. It feels that way. You know, he had the pick six against Burrow a couple of years ago. It just seems like he always comes up with a big play against this Bengals team. But I mean, I think, you know, you're looking at this, and I know we're not making our pick quite yet. This Browns team is just not very good.
No. Oh, Jordan Hicks. That's the other line.
That's right. I was going to say that was going to be, it's too late at night, even though it's not really that late at night. It's just been a week to do that. Anything else you want to talk about with this Browns team? I know we're not really doing that well on previewing it, but you saw them a couple of weeks ago. They're not very entertaining.
No, they're not. And their most entertaining player, they've miraculously, I think they were waiting for that game to happen. They were waiting for the Jameis Winston three interception game to happen. So they could find a reason to bench him and tank.
Uh-huh. Have you watched, I see Lisa's come up here. Have you watched the last couple of episodes of Hard Knocks?
No.
Good job. We're killing it. We're doing great things.
I think we need to retire.
Yes. We're going to retire away to our vast winnings of what we've made doing this show.
I have a vacation home in Colorado now because of the show.
That's where all our money's been going. Interesting. I was wondering who's been shoveling all of our money out of our account.
Just a really nice house over in.
So when the Bengals travel to Denver next week or next season, is that where we're going then?
Are we going to Denver or are we going to LA? We don't know yet.
we don't know
right
yet.
Now it's technically LA. Now, I'm hopefully
just,
it's Denver.
I'm hoping it's Denver. So I'm just speaking it into existence that it'll be on Denver. Yes. We're looking forward to seeing you as well, on Lisa, on Sunday. So the Bengals against the Browns. Remember, this is not tomorrow night. It is not on Fox either. Now it is going to be on CBS on Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's the rare double flex, which I love that they call flipping it from Fox to CBS a flex. I guess technically it is, but it just seems like flex is a positive word usually when, I guess, moving to CBS is a positive term in me. I think CBS does a better job than Fox. Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta will be on the call. I think Spiro's one of the better guys for CBS, so I think that's a really good combo for him. Referee, Brad Rogers. I know you're a big Brad Rogers guy, Mick.
Yeah.
Bengals are 2-2 with Brad Rogers as their ref.
Could be worse.
Win this year as well, Raiders.
Okay.
Texans on the road in 2020.
Okay, that's good.
Brandon Allen game. Losses last year against the Steelers at home. And the debut game of Zach Taylor in 2019.
Seahawks game, really?
Exactly. So 2-2 is the Bengals record with Brad Rogers as the official. It is going to be a Stripe the Jungle game on Sunday. They're still sticking with that. Part of me kind of wishes they would have pushed that to next week now. I know that it's too late for that because they've had the excitement since you're going to get it under the lights next week for the most part against the Broncos. We're a black section on Sunday. And so hopefully you wear black or orange for that. I think, do I still have the picture from last year on here? No, I do have it. So this is from last year, but I think it's the same shtick. So you're going to be doing this. It has Buffalo on there, but it's just the Bengals. So wear black or orange. This looked really cool last year. I hope it still looks cool under the lights, or I'd rather at 1 o'clock.
Daylight.
Yeah. I thought the orange out looked really cool during daylight. So I'll be intrigued as how Stripe the Jungle comes out as daylight for Sunday. The ruler of the jungle is going to be Carson Foster. Do you know who Carson Foster is?
I saw he's a swimmer.
He is.
An Olympic swimmer.
Exactly. He went to Sycamore High School, won a silver and a bronze in Paris. Oh, that'll be cool for him to come back for the ruler of the jungle. Okay, time for us to make our picks. I'll go Bengals 27, Browns 13.
I'll go Bengals 27, Browns 3.
Whoa. So you're saying this is going to be an old-fashioned butt-kicking.
Yeah, I don't think DTR is going to do anything. We saw how he played in that first game.
Does he play the entire game?
Who's the backup? Is it Jeff Driscoll?
Jameis? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jameis. Yeah,
do we
I think
see
he plays the whole game. No.
We do not
Unless
see James. Barring injury. Yeah, barring injury, obviously. See, that's the thing. If Jameis would have started in the game, it come in instead of DTR in the game in Cleveland, the Browns might have won that game. Because he came in and he led a pretty positive drive down the field. Yeah. And at least
then
the Browns
would have
defense
had no
is still
hope.
A thing. Oh,
that would have then our hope would have been gone.
Lisa says 42-17. Matt says 24-13. Riley says 31-10 for the Bengals. We will also here make one more prediction, Mick. We've done this now a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. Will the Bengals make the playoffs? Yes or no?
No.
Boo this man. Boo this man.
I have more hope than I did a week or 2 weeks ago. But still, you need a lot to happen. And it all hinges on tomorrow night where you have a Chargers team who's been reeling in recent weeks. They have not played very well. Lost to the Ravens, lost to the Bucks. They have another loss in there as well. Did I miss something? I don't know. They at least lost those games. And the Broncos have been absolutely dominating teams in recent weeks. So you have one team that's cold, and that's the team we got to root on, and the other team that we need them to lose has been playing really well. So
Listen, the comments section is believing. Matt says yes. Lisa says yes. Freddie says yes. I'm going to say no, though.
I'll tell you what. If Mike Tomlin can find a way to do it every single season with nobodies at quarterback, we can do it.
And like I said, I just want it for the pure happiness of Bengals at Bills in the first round of the playoffs because, oh my goodness, would that be so much fun to watch? Like, I'd be stressed, but holy points. And you're telling me that Josh Allen would want to see that? He's like, you're telling me I could be playing the Colts and instead I have Joe freaking Burrow walking in? What? Can you go away? Can we not have that happen? Anthony Richardson? What? Broncos lose tomorrow, we win Sunday, and we beat the Broncos next week. I like the way you're thinking, Matt. I like the way you think. I like the way you think. Next week's show, since a week from today is Christmas, we are going to go on more than likely Thursday of next week. So we'll be on the 26th, same time. That allows everybody to enjoy their Christmas and allows us to enjoy our Christmas as well. So hopefully, you know, you have a great Christmas that you're watching. Mick, same to you. I know you're going to the wife's family, right?
Yep. Be down in Richmond.
In Rich Vegas, right? Man.
Rich Vegas.
Rich Vegas. Yep. So I'm sure that the people are you going to be signing autographs while you're down there for all of our vast fans in Richmond?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. but yeah, seriously, guys, Merry Christmas. And hope you guys have a safe holiday, safe travels if you're driving somewhere. And hope you have a great one.
Yeah, and if you don't celebrate Christmas, I hope you have a good week. And we'll see you back Thursday of next week for the next edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. We could be doing our first mock draft of the season, or we could be talking about how weird we can get when it comes to playoff scenarios even more next week. So until then, Mick, Merry Christmas and Hooday.
Merry Christmas. Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.